Hello and welcome to our program. Today we conclude this little series in the life of Noah. Stay tuned for our message. To look at Noah as a type of Christ, and we're going to look at the ark as a type of our salvation. But before we do that, listen to this message and song, Should the Servant Be More Than His Master?
It may be no loved one with whom you can share. It may the servant be more than his master. It may mean rejection by friends through the years. It may mean some lonely nights praying in tears. But surely his peace will erase should the servant be more than his master. My king had no mansion, he sat on the throne. As a friend of the friendless, my master was known. And he died as he lived for the It may mean a home in the midst of the wild. It may mean the lack or the loss of a child. But his grace is sufficient, his love more abounds. For he knows every tear, he's the
Today we conclude our series here in the story of Noah, and we're going to look first of all at Noah as a type of Christ. The word Noah means rest, and Jesus said in Matthew 11, verse number 28, Come unto me, all ye that labor, and I will give you rest. The first thing recorded about Noah is found in Genesis 6 and verse 8. Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. The first words that we hear from God the Father concerning the Lord in his ministry is found in Matthew 3:17. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The next thing recorded about Noah is Noah was a just man, and perfect in his generation, and Noah walked with God. It says in Genesis 6 and 22 that Noah did according unto all that God commanded him, so did he. In John 17 and 4, Jesus said, I have glorified thee on earth, I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. We could look at many other areas here where Noah is a type of Christ. We're going to look at the ark as a type of our salvation. First of all, the ark was provided for by God. The plan was put together for the ark and for the saving of those who would get in it before one drop of water fell on the face of this earth. God said unto Noah in Genesis 6 and 13, the end of all flesh is come before me. He said, I will destroy thee, make thee an ark of gopher wood. In 1 Peter 1 and 18, the Bible tells us that our salvation was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Now, that's not that's a support verse for Calvinism. That's foolish. If you read it carefully, you will find what it really says here is the plan of salvation was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Our salvation was provided for as the ark was provided for before one drop of water hit this earth. The ark was a refuge of judgment. John chapter 5 and verse number 24 says, verily, verily, I say unto you, that he that heareth my words and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Now, in Noah's day, the door was open for 120 years. Only 8 people got on. And not only that, it was open for everyone. Genesis 6 and verse 18 says, Come into the ark, thou and thy sons and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. He said, come. Doesn't say go. Come in. God was in there. Revelation 22, 17 says, and the Spirit and the bride say, come. And let him that heareth say, come. And let him as the thirst come. And whosoever will, let him take of the waters of life freely. What part of that verse is too difficult for Calvinists to understand? Well, in Genesis 7, verse number 16, it says, and they that went in, went in. And that's the way it is today. They that would come into the security of knowing Christ as their personal Savior, they can come in. Whosoever will may come. Not only the ark was security in Genesis 7 and verse number 16, the Lord shut them in. The Bible says that God shut him in. God didn't shut anybody out. He shut him and his family in. In John 10, 28, Jesus said, I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. And he went on to say, my Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. That's security. Then there was one door, and only one. The Bible says that the door of the ark shalt thou set in the midst thereof. In John 14 and 6, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. There was a window, and that window looked up. It says in Genesis 6, verse number 16, a window shalt thou make to the ark. In a cubit shalt thou finish it above. The Bible says in Psalm 5 and 3, in the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Colossians 3, 2 says, set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. God did not have a window in the side where they could look at all that destruction. And in this day and age, the Bible says, when these things begin to happen, as they happened in the days of Noah, look up, your redemption draweth nigh. And then there was 3 stories in this ark. A lower, a second, and third story shalt thou make it, he said in Genesis chapter 6 and verse number 16. And it speaks in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 12 that the Spirit of God can divide asunder the soul, the spirit, and the joints and the marrow. That's the body. We are a 3-part being, a soul, a spirit, the body, a soul, and a spirit. And the salvation plan is also threefold. We are, at the moment we receive Jesus Christ as our personal Savior, we are saved from the penalty of sin. That's in the Bible called justification. Then as we go through life, we can be saved from the power of sin. That is what the Bible refers to as sanctification. And then one day, thank the Lord, we'll be saved from the presence of sin. And that is what the Bible refers to as glorification. Three stories in the ark. Three stories concerning our salvation. And then the long-suffering of the Lord, it says in 2 Peter chapter 3 and verse 9, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. 1 Peter 3:20 says, the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Well, they ignored the warnings in the days of Noah. Enoch's great-grandfather, he preached in Jude 1:14, says Enoch was the seventh from Adam, prophesied, or he preached. Methuselah, 969 years he lived. He was the grandfather of Noah, and he preached. Lamech, Noah's father, he was a man of righteousness, obviously. And Noah, the Bible says in 2 Peter 2:5, was a preacher of righteousness. But they ignored the warnings, as most everyone is ignoring the warnings today of God's coming judgment on this earth. Well, life is filled with our choices and our consequences. As we've said before, we can choose anything we want to do. We can choose to trust the Lord. You can choose to rebel against Him. Choices are wide open and they're yours to make. However, we cannot choose the consequences. There was a remnant that they were ignored by the people. They were despised by the people. They were rejected by the people. But they got on the boat. There was only eight of them, just the remnant. Well, Noah was free to choose, and he chose right, although the people of the world ignored him and despised him and rejected him. He chose right. He's glad he did. Well, there was another man who was alive in the world at that time. His name was Nimrod, and he made his choices, too. He became what the Bible calls in Genesis 10, verse number 8, a mighty one in the earth. He had a mighty following. In fact, if you follow the story through, you'll find he was the founder, the one that led in the Tower of Babel and leading people a totally different direction from what Noah was preaching about. He made his choices too. Well, we read concerning that Noah making the right choice. Finally, God said unto Noah, go forth of the ark, thou and thy wife and thy sons' wives with thee. Noah was glad that he made the right choice, and he's glad today. Nimrod, not so happy. And neither will you be if you choose wrong. One of these days, the Lord's coming back. It might be today. Listen to this message and song. Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today?
Jesus is coming to earth again. What if it were today? Coming in power and love to reign. What if it were today? Coming to claim his chosen bride, all the redeemed and purified, over this whole earth scattered wide. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart will bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will come someday. Faithful and true will he find us here if he should come today. Watching in gladness and not in fear if he should come today. Signs of his coming multiply, morning light breaks in eastern sky. Watch, for the time is drawing nigh. What if it were today? Glory, glory, joy to my heart will bring. Glory, glory, when we shall crown him king. Glory, glory, haste to prepare the way. Glory, glory, Jesus will.